What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Dropping Dimes, your 2 cents of basketball. I'm your host, Rodrigo, but you can call me Rod. And I'm joined by our director of branding and image, the Sin Master, Evans. How are you doing, man?
Good, man. Just had a nice bike ride here. It's super nice out. Lots of people out from the Pride Parade in Vancouver today.
Happy Pride, Vancouver.
Yeah, no, it's a good day.
And, of course, we're also joined by our director of research and hot takes, Rafael.
In business development.
Not yet. How are you doing?
I'm adding titles already.
Please don't. I'm going to demote you already.
Okay.
How are you doing?
Doing good. What about you?
Good. It's a beautiful day. It's eventful, to say the least. Tons of things happening in the city this beautiful summer.
And you're wearing a beautiful Dropping Dimes podcast t-shirt.
That's right, yeah.
That you can buy it online if you want.
Can they?
Hey, we can put on a giveaway contest.
Yeah, I think we should give one away before we ask people to buy them. Okay. How's that?
Yeah, I guess so.
We have a couple of giveaways, actually. Yeah. We'll get some feedback and then we'll go from there. Yeah. How's that?
But it's beautiful. Regardless, if you're getting it for free or if you're buying it, it's worth it.
You're getting it for free. All right. We have a very good show today. Not only we have a new edition of the top three, but we also have a couple of things to discuss. Some hot takes, actually, that happened during the week. Mm-hmm. Let's start off with local/international issue. The Memphis Grizzlies are celebrating their 25th anniversary, which is already somewhat controversial because, as we know, the Grizzlies started off in Vancouver, not in Memphis. But that's not the issue. The issue is that in preparation for their 25th anniversary, they announced that the Grizzlies will be one of the teams that will wear retro uniforms. And what does that mean? The Memphis Grizzlies will be wearing the iconic teal Vancouver Grizzlies jerseys with Vancouver written on the chest.
I think... Is it Vancouver?
Yeah. It is. Because of licensing, they cannot change it to Memphis.
Because I noticed that it said Grizzlies, but I didn't notice that it had Vancouver as well.
Yeah. No, it does say, it will say Vancouver. That has been confirmed by the Grizzlies. And it was also confirmed that, you know, they're not the only team to wear another city's name on the uniform. So
the Lakers done it.
The Lakers have done it for Minneapolis. So the Clippers have done it with the Braves. In the past.
How about Hornets?
The Hornets, I can't remember right now. The two that came to mind were the Clippers, the Lakers, I think the Sixers with the Nats.
Right.
And those are the ones that come to mind for sure. Yeah. So they're not the only team. But they also have the other version, which is the black
Memphis
version.
The Memphis version, yeah.
Yeah, which you know, once the Grizzlies moved to Memphis, they changed the name from Vancouver to Memphis, but kept that same style. Mm-hmm. So that one will say Memphis, the black one. Yeah. But the teal one with the coastal First Nation design on the neck and on the sleeves, that one will be basically a replica of the Vancouver Grizzlies jersey. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people jumped on social media to, you know, voice their opinion. I personally saw a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. People that loved it, they thought it was a good shout out from the Grizzlies to their origins.
Right.
And then the opposite, that it was, well, not mocking, but, you know, the Grizzlies using this uniform is sort of like stealing the team and rubbing it in our faces that, you know, used to have it, but now it's ours, and so on and so on.
Right.
How do you guys feel about it?
I think it's actually a very nice way of paying tribute to the Grizzlies. Story. I don't have an issue with them celebrating the 25th anniversary because they never changed their name, so they're still the Grizzlies, right? Yeah. Maybe with Oklahoma City Thunder, for example, if they celebrate the total years of the franchise, counting the years that they were the Supersonics, then I would have an issue with that because they changed the city and they changed the name of the franchise. But with the Grizzlies, it's different. They were always the Grizzlies, so I'm fine with them celebrating 25 years. That's fine with me. As far as the uniform goes, I think that they're paying a tribute to Vancouver. I don't have an issue with it.
Right.
I also think that the black one, it's beautiful. Not only the teal one, the black one, I really, really like it as well because I remember Jason Williams playing for the Grizzlies with that uniform.
Yeah.
So I like both of them, to be honest.
Yeah. I'm kind of on the same page as Raft. I mean, it's just the classic jersey. I mean, if anything, they're paying tribute, and it's like a legacy to the team, right? So I don't really see as much of them like stealing or anything like that. Yeah.
I guess it's not a hot topic then. We thought it was a hot topic, but it's not a hot topic.
I thought someone sides. Here, I don't know, one of you guys would be quote unquote offended
right.
by them. But I mean, I personally don't have an issue with it because it wasn't, it's not like the Oklahoma City Thunder. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, it was a little bit controversial at the time, but you know, the team was sold to an owner that in the beginning said that he wouldn't move the team and then decided to do so.
Right.
But like Rafael said, you know, it's still the same nickname for the franchise, the Grizzlies, even though it doesn't make any sense out of Memphis. But it's a good way to celebrate the history of the team. It's I got excited to see it, and it's kind of poetic that Brandon Clark, the only Vancouver-born player in the NBA now,
right.
is going to wear the Grizzlies jersey, the original one. So that's kind of poetic or ironic. I don't know how you want to see it. But at the same time, it makes me feel a little bit sad that I'm going to see these beautiful jerseys out there on the court with, I think, a very, if not this, the same one, but a very similar court design as when the Grizzlies used to play here in Vancouver. And, you know, it just makes me sad to think that could have been us. That could have been Vancouver.
I think the NBA could have considered that and invited the Grizzlies to come play preseason here in Vancouver instead of the Clippers and the Mavs. I understand why they selected the Clippers and the Mavs, because Kawhi is now playing for the Clippers, and he was such an important figure for Canada last year.
I don't think that was the reason.
Well, I think it's one of the reasons. Like, he's one of the most important players. Luka was the rookie of the year.
Yeah, I think that's a...
But I mean, it would make more sense to bring the Grizzlies, considering there is such a special season for them, and that they're going to be wearing that uniform, right?
That's a good point. Yeah.
Do you think people would have boycotted that, maybe? Like, maybe a small group?
There's no point being salty about it now. I mean, you should have bought your season ticket when you had a chance. Now that the team is gone, just, I mean, forget about it, right? There's no point being salty about that.
But does that mean that, you know, is this a somewhat of a hint from the NBA saying, like, yeah, you're not getting a team back anytime soon, Vancouver? Like, this is your shout-out, and you enjoy your moment. Or, you know, the fact that we now have a preseason that is not necessarily attached to the Raptors or to the Grizzlies. We've had that a couple of times where the Suns and the Blazers came. But, you know, Steve Nash was there, so there was some Canadian ties. But now there's nothing really that...
I don't know. I think it's exactly what you said. It's a shout-out, right? Like, what if the Memphis Grizzlies didn't use these old Vancouver jerseys? Then how would you see it? It's almost like now it's a knock because it's 25th anniversary and they're not.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
They're ignoring the story.
Yeah, so it's two ways to look at it, I guess.
Right.
I had this conversation with a friend of mine, actually, now that you brought up the Mavs. He's probably the Vancouver's biggest Mavs fan, actually. Shout out to him, because we had this conversation about the jersey thing last year, and when I told him this perspective, he was kind of surprised, right? Because obviously your immediate reaction is, okay, they're using this jersey.
Right.
It's like a knock to us because, you know, the team's not here or whatever. They stole the team, which is not really the case, right? They sort of moved there. So, I don't know.
There is one thing that I do think the Grizzlies stole.
Yes.
And that is...
We all agree on that one.
I think we do. We didn't explicitly, and I'm just bringing this up for everyone listening. We didn't discuss this, but the one thing that I do think the Grizzlies stole is a sequence from the...
Right.
From the documentary Finding Big Country. Shout out to Kai Jamie and her crew. So when the Grizzlies announced that they would wear these retro uniforms on Instagram, on social media, they had this sequence of someone popping in a VHS tape into the recorder and then playing a video that had the Grizzlies logo popping up.
Yeah.
And that sequence is oddly familiar to how Finding Big Country starts.
Now, do you think it could be just a coincidence, or you think there's no
way? I don't know. I mean, there is such a thing as coincidence. I agree, but coincidence takes, I don't know. It's, oh boy,
it just looked too similar. Yeah. Like, to be honest, when I first saw it, I actually thought that's what was gonna play. I thought it was Finding Big Country.
I thought so too. Like, it didn't
match the title and everything. And I was just like, oh, okay, what's happening? And then a day or half a day later, everyone was talking about it. Apparently, it was on the news.
It was too similar.
It
like
was very similar.
For it to be a coincidence, I don't know. Like, Cats film has made their rounds across North America, and it became like she's been featured in Slam, right, in other publications. She's been jumping around the USA and Canada featuring her film. So it's almost hard to believe that they decided to just go with that sequence without seeing it.
If it was not a coincidence, then if they basically decided to take that sequence from her film and kind of reproduce, to release the uniforms, I mean, they're very stupid because everyone will eventually notice that where it came from, right?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that was necessarily on purpose. I mean,
you had to have seen the film to know, like, where it came from. Right?
At this point, there's nothing but we can do but give them the benefit of the doubt. I personally think that they totally ripped it off.
You think they just the creative team just piggybacked on?
I think so. I think they did add this first clip of someone turning on the VHS recorder that is not on Cat's film. But I think that was their way of saying, like, oh, it's different. This is our original production. But it's like, no, come on. You stole the entire concept.
Yeah, but I mean, whoever came up with the idea of, you know, taking from her film should know that it was going to generate some bad press. Because
I don't know. I don't know.
Or maybe whoever was, you know, higher up trying to approve it saw it and was just like, it's fine without having knowledge of, you know, Cat's documentary. They're just like, oh, this is a great idea. Let's go with it. It could have been so many things. We'll never know.
I'm siding with Kat on this one.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to say, shame on you, Memphis Grizzlies, for using that particular sequence.
Right.
You should know better.
And just to go back, before we move to the next topic, just to go back to the example of the Seattle Supersonics and the Oklahoma City Thunder, if the Oklahoma City Thunder decided to wear the Supersonics jersey now, I would say that it's too early. It's not...
Too early?
Yeah, it's not... The right time yet. I think it's not the right moment to do that. Eventually, I think it would be okay, but well, I wouldn't like to see them wearing the Seattle Supersonics jersey.
What is interesting, and if anyone out there thinks that I'm wrong, please feel free to correct me. The Thunder does own the rights to the Sonics and their championships and the team's history, versus with the Grizzlies there were some licensing issues. So And that's why one of the reasons of why they haven't done a throwback, because they basically, I'm not saying that they want to erase the Sonics from history because it's impossible, but they're trying to downplay it for sure.
They're not there to honor
So
them.
Yeah. To me, the Thunder is the example of, you know, what we imagine when, you know, an evil corporate owner takes over this beautiful thing in sports with loyalty and everything attached to it. Like, that's to me the worst case scenario, where the previous owner messed up, sold it to people that were not looking after their town or the fans of the franchise, and decided to just, you know, start all over again. With the Grizzlies, I don't feel as offended because, well, first of all, I was not a Grizzlies fan, but as a Vancouver resident and proud Vancouverite, I think it's a good shout out to the city, to where it all started. You know, it is what it is, right? We don't have the Grizzlies, but it's a good way to remember that. Maybe this will actually put on the spotlight on Vancouver and say, like, maybe they are ready now. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is a completely different conversation. But I don't know if I would like a team in Vancouver if they are not allowed to be called the Grizzlies again. I think Vancouver should always be the Vancouver Grizzlies. I don't think I would like to have to start over with another franchise.
The Vancouver
New chapter?
The Vancouver Ravens, Crows, something like that. I would be okay with that.
Of course, I would be happy to have NBA basketball in Vancouver, but I would prefer if we get the name back, you know what I mean?
If we draw the line at the name for not attending an NBA game here in Vancouver, I can let that one go.
Rough.
Yeah. If they want to call it the Vancouver Mountains, like, Mountains, whatever. Huh? It's your marketing decisions. I can only give my opinion, but I'm going to be there to watch the game.
As long as they don't go back to some of the original ideas that
they should
had
do
for
with,
names.
They should go for the Mounties.
No,
whenever the Vancouver Mounties, that was one of the, I think it was Mounties or Canadians, one or the other.
Mounties.
And it had a Mountie,
right?
Like a policeman from the RCMP. We'll cross that bridge once we get a team back. So again, shout out to Kat, Jamie, and her crew, because they are undertaking that fight and they're fighting the good fight to bring a team back to Vancouver. And let's just, are you guys going to buy that jersey, the new one?
Ja Morant is a pretty sick player. So.
Or Brandon Clark.
No, but I would rather buy the retro.
That's the retro.
I know, but I mean the one from Mitchell and Ness, the original red jersey from Vancouver Grizzlies. And then when they release the Memphis Grizzlies retro, then I will buy that one. Jason Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see about that. All right.
That would be nice, actually.
Let's move on to our next topic then, which is Carmelo Anthony, one of our favorite players to talk about in the Dropping Downs podcast. So this week, Carmelo went on to First Take with Stephen A. Smith.
Player.
To, what do you mean player?
Our favorite quote-unquote player.
No, he's still a player. So he went on the show to defend himself, basically. So Stephen A. Smith basically said that Melo did not deserve a farewell tour like Dwayne Wade, Nowitzki, Kobe, and all of these other legends that have had one. And Carmelo went on the show and had a long interview. It was like an hour, over an hour for sure. Like an hour and a half, I'm going to say. A little too long, yeah. And
just like his career.
He definitely let us know. Oh my God, I just got that one. That's horrible. Well, we know where Rafael stands with Carmelo. But he was trying to make a point for himself, saying that he can still contribute. He talked about how the things with the Rockets went down, that Daryl Morey went to his hotel room and said, you know what, this is not working out, and you're not going to suit up tomorrow, which is kind of abrupt. And, you know, he talked to Chris Paul and James Harden, and they didn't know anything. So obviously, as part of the brotherhood of the NBA, they were not happy. In the end, Melo didn't get any offers, and now he's teamless. And there's a lot of conversation around, you know, what is Carmelo Anthony's legacy? Is he going to be a for sure Hall of Famer? Is he a ball hog? Is he one of the best shooters we've ever seen? I don't know. So my question to you guys is, right now, as of August 4th, which this is going to be released later, of 2019, what is Carmelo Anthony's legacy in the world of basketball? Go ahead.
He's not one of the best shooters. His game did not translate or did not transition from the early 2000s to the kind of game that we have now in the NBA. I think he was never a very good three-point shooter, and that's why he's struggling. He doesn't run as much as you need to run nowadays, so it's difficult for him to play. And I agree.
He was like a half-court player.
Yeah. And I agree with Stephen A. Smith. He said that if it wasn't for Carmelo's role with Team USA and how many competitions, how many medals, and so on, he managed to win with Team USA, he wouldn't even be considered a Hall of Famer. And I agree with that. I think that if he makes to the Basketball Hall of Fame, it's because of his role with Team USA, not because of his NBA career. I think his NBA career, it's not that relevant, to be honest. And I think he shouldn't get a farewell tour, because these guys, Dwayne Wade, Kobe Bryant, Dirk Nowitzki, they all had
rings.
One thing in common. Rings. Yeah, at least one ring. So, I mean, although I understand that he was a very important player coming out of the draft when he first joined the league, he was a very important player. He was a very hot prospect. I mean, I think he ended up not reaching the level that we all expected him to reach.
Right. It's what do you think, Evans, actually?
I agree with a lot of, obviously, what Rav says, not being a Carmelo fan. But, yeah, I remember watching a bit of that interview with Stephen A. Smith as well. And I don't know, it comes down to, like, yeah, rings, right? Like, he doesn't have any of that. And to be honest, he's more of like he's a scorer, not a player, I guess.
Yeah.
How you put it. He was all about getting buckets, but not really caring for the team, I guess. He'd score, you know, a ton of points, but they'd always come out on the losing end. So that sort of, you know, dampens his Hall of Fame.
One thing that I found interesting during the interview is that Melo said that, or he alluded that he was never talked about the possibility of coming out of the bench for the Rockets.
Right.
And he said that he alluded to the fact that he would have maybe considered that. But it's funny because on his when he was announced that he was going to be part of the Rockets, a reporter asked him if he was willing to come out of the bench, and he said no, and he laughed at it.
Yeah.
He laughed at the question. So I it's hard to defend Melo, I find. He, especially in the past, you know, the last couple of seasons with the Knicks, his year at OKC, and then the last few games that he had with the Rockets, it's really difficult to defend his legacy. Before that, and I was telling you guys off the air, like I liked his style. He was a very good player when he was with Denver.
Right.
He was in the first couple of years with the Knicks. They were a team to be that everyone thought the Knicks would have come back from, you know, misery and being irrelevant.
Right.
But then I don't know.
But that's young Melo you're talking about with fresh legs, right? But now we're looking at Melo and he can't even keep up with the team, right? So it's more so like his playing style is not even fitting.
Agreed. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's really hard to defend him this day, and I don't know where. I don't know if I would place him as a first ballot in the Hall of Fame.
It's almost like at some point with the Knicks, he started not to care. Like, I don't feel like he cares about winning or losing anymore. And I think it's been like that for a long time. Like, at some point, he lost his interest. And I think the Knicks are a lot, they have a lot to blame as well, because the Knicks are such a mess.
Right.
That eventually you lose your motivation, right?
Right.
And I think that's part of what happened to Melo. I don't think he cared that much anymore.
He got used to losing.
I think he also got a lot of people traded away from the Knicks just so that he could have the spotlight.
He could be the guy, yeah.
Like, remember when Linsanity happened? I mean, it was such a hot thing.
Right.
And it was quick. But Jeremy Lin was traded right away out of New York, because I don't think Melo could handle that.
Right.
He wanted to be the superstar of the team. And he was for the longest time in the Knicks. But then he couldn't take them to the playoffs. He couldn't take them far in the playoffs. And now it's sad to see that someone that in the first few years of his career was for sure a Hall of Famer, for sure we all thought that at one point he would get a ring, to now not having a team, and teams also not even wanting to take a flyer on him. So it's kind of sad to see someone that was projected to have a legendary career being in this spot.
Yeah, and it was a very comfortable situation for him to be considered the superstar of the New York Knicks, to have the New York lifestyle, to get everyone traded away, everyone that could potentially become a threat to him as the superstar. Everyone was traded away, but he never actually, you know, put his side of the deal. Like, he never really contributed as much as they expected him to contribute. So I think that if the Knicks did the right thing, and I think even though we make fun of the Knicks all the time because of their
bad luck. Well, I mean, they do deserve to be made fun of,
their bad luck. But I feel like they're doing like some things now that are putting them on track to become a good franchise again.
I don't know about that. But anyways, do you guys think that Melo will have a team before the NBA season starts?
I think he's going to play in China.
Yeah, I think that's what the word is. I don't think he's going to have a spot in the NBA, to be honest.
Yeah, I think he'll join the NBA ex-NBA contingent in China.
I heard he's talking to the Shanghai Sharks, same team that Jimmy Fredette plays for.
Maybe he can go and play there with Jeremy Lin together.
Yeah, Jeremy Lin is another example.
That's where they'll reunite.
So
with Jeremy Lin, it was kind of sad because of the interview that he gave as well, right, where he said that the NBA had given up on him, basically.
They're on the same boat. They should just be best friends and rekindle their Knicks relationship.
Wait. Is Evans throwing shade? Jeremy Lin and Carmelo?
I think it's a good idea.
I would love to see Melo as part of the support, as part of Jeremy Lin's supporting cast. That would be amazing.
That's just mean. That's just mean. They would both be starters, let's face it.
Yeah, but Jeremy Lin would be the superstar.
Well, he's a tad younger, right?
He can contribute more to a team than Carmelo at this point.
No, I don't know. If J.R. Smith and those guys were just, you know, wrecking havoc in the Chinese league, you know, I'm sure
Smith
that
there too now.
Yeah, yeah, and a bunch of players like, I mean, Jimmy Fredette is a superstar, right, over there.
He's a talented player.
I'm not saying that he's not, but you know, someone with Melo's experience and career, he's, you know, almost destined to be great over there. Actually, now that I'm thinking about this, it's not a bad idea that Melo considers going to China.
Yeah, he should have done it like 5 seasons ago, to be honest.
I don't know. I think he had something to prove, and it just didn't happen.
And he didn't.
Like, with Oklahoma City, he tried. He legitimately tried to be the spot-up guy, and just like what he did with Team USA, but his shot was just not falling, and it was not a good use of Melo. And then Rockets Melo, I mean, I don't even know what they were trying to do with him. He was, like you said, Raph, he was never a three-point player, and he was forced to take three-pointers. So it was just a waste of time.
Yeah,
there's a former Knick legend out in China as well, right?
Stephen Marbury.
Yeah, so my...
Knick legend is a little bit too much. Okay,
fine.
Starbury.
You don't think Stephon Marbury was more of a Knick legend than Carmelo?
No. They're on the same boat.
No! Hell no! Carmelo is over Stephon Marbury on Knick's lore?
No.
I would rank Carmelo over Stephon Marbury. No.
Fair enough. Look out for China Melo.
They had similar experiences with the Knicks, to be
honest. No, get out. Seriously, leave the studio.
They're both
right
overrated.
Now. No, okay, ooh. But no, Marbury was not even close to Melo's career. I'm not a Melo fan, but you cannot say that. Seriously. Stephon Marbury didn't even, he made it to Team USA, but he doesn't have the decorated career that Carmelo has.
I'm talking about the Knicks.
It's pretty decorated, man. The guy has eaten Vaseline before. If that's not decorated, I don't know what else.
He won 4 medals with Team USA in the Olympic Games, and a bronze in the World Cup, which is not something to brag being Team USA, but still.
And Stephon Marbury is like a multi-platform superstar, because now he's also an actor. He has his own play in China.
No, he used to.
So like he's a. But he now became
he's
a superstar.
And now he's selling this weird multicolored basketball that it kind of glows. I don't know. Go check it out if you're interested. But I would also be worried to see where that money goes. Anyways, we're not getting into Stephon Marbury's business ventures.
Just one last question about Marbury. He's originally from New York.
Coney Island.
And Miller's from Baltimore, right? I think.
Yes.
Actually, I should be able to see that here. No, he's from Brooklyn.
Really?
Yeah.
Melo?
Yeah. So, just wait until he tries to go to a Knicks game and then he gets kicked out by James Dolan. Oh, well. Best of luck to Melo in China or wherever he decides to play.
China.
Because
please
he's not...
China.
He can go to Europe. I don't know why.
Somewhere. We don't want to talk about it anymore.
Anyways.
True.
It is that time of the show, guys, where we go back to our top three. Are you guys ready?
Let's do it.
It should be an exciting one because today we're giving you our top three best basketball movies ever. So this is not just personal. This is the top three best basketball movies that we think have been ever produced. So the rules are simple.
They're never simple. Come on.
They are.
Come on. They're never
the
simple.
The only thing that is not to be considered for this list
documentaries.
Is documentaries. Will you please stop? Seriously? Do you want to host the show? Do you want to host the show, Rafael?
He's excited right now.
Jeez.
He's ready for his top five.
It's so hard to get help these days. No documentaries of any sorts. It has to be a movie. So it has to have a script and it has to be a made-up thing, not retelling a story.
But biopics are okay.
Oh, we didn't talk about that.
It's not a documentary.
Back to the WhatsApp.
Yes, I'll allow it.
Oh.
All right. Biopics. There aren't that many, so it should be fine. But I think, do you have one of those in your list?
Yeah.
I know which one it is. I know which one it is already.
Ooh.
So everyone's used to our format now. We'll go from the worst of the best to the cream of the crop, and we'll go around and say why we chose that particular movie.
Was this harder for you guys to choose than choose?
This was harder to me.
You got a long list of honorable mentions?
I feel like with shoes, I knew what I like, and right. I have, it's pretty black and white for me with shoes,
right.
Where I know which ones I like, which ones I don't. But with basketball movies, I've enjoyed even the bad ones.
Right.
It's like, I can sit down and watch it. But it was hard to see which ones are the best ones made.
Man, we got
to
do a worst. Three now.
Oh, that one's gonna be easier, I think.
And also it was tough because I try to come up with a way of filtering the options. Like for example,
right.
I decided to go with
criterias.
The ones that
decide,
yeah. Because I try to go with the ones that influenced me
mm-hmm.
the most.
Yeah.
Likewise.
Like for example, there were some basketball movies that were fun.
Yeah.
And that I liked as a kid, but I decided not to go with those. I decided to go
Same.
With the ones that I I like the most as a young adult or as a teenager.
You're not a young adult anymore.
I was talking about the past, okay?
Okay, okay. Yes. All right. So, in the tradition of our top three, let's get started with Raphael's third pick. Take it away.
My third pick.
Air Bud.
Ooh. It's going to be... That was a good one.
That was a good one. Yeah, no.
I mean,
me too.
If you like Dadas, you might as well go with Air Bud.
Yeah, but
also shout out to Air Bud because he played all sports.
Yeah,
did he?
He had like a football, baseball, great athlete.
Frisbee.
Yeah, underrated.
He probably made more money his lifetime than me, and he only lived for like 10 years.
Yep, so arguably. Yep. Hey, give us your third one.
Yeah.
Facts.
So third place. It's a tough one because I had for like. Four different movies, so I'm just gonna select one. I'm gonna go with Coach Carter.
Coach Carter.
Yes.
Nice. Okay.
That's my third one.
Good call.
Yes. And I had other options here that I'm not gonna mention because maybe you guys have them.
It's a good third.
Coach Carter was entertaining movie, and at the same time was very inspirational.
Nice.
And I loved how they had all the kind. Like every team has a 3-point shooter and a guy that is a troublemaker, and that makes it very entertaining. So
yeah.
Coach Carter was a very good movie. And I don't know if you guys liked it as well.
I it's one of my top five, and I struggled with Coach Carter because I do not have it on my top three, but I love that movie. Mm. Like I can have a drink and watch it any random afternoon, and I love watching it. And I love the part where Timo Cruz, the Latino on the team. Mm-hmm. Nice. He starts batting back. Yeah,
yeah.
And then Coach Carter goes up to him, like grabs him and pins him against the wall. And then Timo says, like, teachers are not supposed to touch students. And then Coach Carter says, like, I'm not your teacher, I'm your basketball coach.
Wow.
I'm like, damn.
No, I like when he goes to Coach Carter's house to ask him to give a second
chance. Oh, after his cousin is shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he starts crying, and then Coach Carter embraces him. Mm. Oh, that's so beautiful.
Tearjerker.
It's a beautiful moment, yeah.
It's a beautiful moment.
And it's based on a real story, but it's not a documentary, so it counts. They took some creative liberties, so that was a really good pick.
Thank you.
Really good.
Thank you. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm part of this, right?
Well, sure. All right. Evans, what's your third pick?
Third pick, I went with Sunset Park.
Sunset Park?
Yeah. This was a sports drama. Came out in, I think, 96, featuring Fred Starr. And I don't know, I don't remember much from the movie. I had to do a quick review earlier. Just watching some trailers with my wife. And I think it was the anthem they had in the song. They had this thing where it was like, Sunset Park, what time is it? It's time to get alive. It's time to represent. For whatever reason, that was like a thing when we were in high school. It was like cheers like that brought me back to like, you know, playing on a team sport and the camaraderie around it. So I think that movie was impressionable for me because it was just seeing, you know, how a team would go through the ups and downs. And
yeah,
I think a highlight of the movie was like, you know, the PE teacher of the gym teacher was a woman, and she became the coach for this team and sort of, you know, pulled them out of trouble and got them to, you know, work as a team and win together. So yeah, that was my third pick.
That's interesting. So far we have it's not like college, but you know, like young
high
team
school
movies.
Yeah.
And this is kind of odd because, you know, for everyone listening, we usually when we come for this kind of shows, we don't disclose our top three. We come in and we discuss it because we want it to be authentic.
Right.
And my third pick is Hoosiers.
Nice.
Which kind of falls in line with the movies that you guys just chose. So it's basically I'm going to go ahead and say the original Coach Carter of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess
I got to argue. Apparently, I was talking to my wife and she said the Sunset Park movie was the original Coach Carter.
I mean, I gotta
rewatch Hoosiers to remember.
It's an old movie. It's from 86. I watched it when I was in like grade 7, grade 8 with all my team.
Oh, cool.
Our coach made us watch it, and so
they made you watch it.
Yeah, because we were not getting along, and he made us watch that and Remember the Titans.
Oh, that's a good movie.
That's a good sports movie.
Yeah.
Overall, anyways, it has it all. It's a classic sports story. You know, there's a failed college coach. you know, the superstar player that doesn't want to play the sport, so he has to be sort of persuaded by the coach. And there's the assistant head coach, which I can't remember his name right now, but he has some alcohol problems, but he's very invested in the team. All the players love him. So he has some fallouts into alcohol, and all the team brings him back. The coach is a hothead, so he gets tossed out of the games every so often. The team is not great, but it comes from nothing to being one of the best teams in Indiana. And one of my favorite lines, and we should have done that. I should have asked you guys, like, bring your favorite line of each movie.
Mm.
And I'm going to mess this one up, but there's a scene where Coach Norman Dale, which is Gene Hackman, tells the superstar, Jimmy Chitwood, to guard one of the other players. And he said, by the end of the game, I want you to tell me what's the flavor underneath the player's shoe, or what does it taste like? So in reference to, like, be so close to him that, you know, he cannot even breathe, basically.
Just like that little girl that that became, like, viral on YouTube or Instagram, that she was, like, trying to defend, like, playing defense with her team.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, kind of, yeah.
Super cute.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah. If I find it, I'll let you guys, what's the actual quote. All right. But yeah, interesting that we all chose
non-NBA.
Like, yeah, it's all like, I guess, high school or college team related movies.
Right.
All my, this is a bit of a spoiler here, but all of my picks are non-NBA.
That is a spoiler.
Yeah. Oh, I found the quote. Stick with your man. Think of him as chewing gum. By the end of the game, I want you to know what flavor he is.
What? Okay.
But it's a really good movie. Honestly, it's, you know, it's got that retro feeling to it, and it's a good, inspiring movie.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's move on to our second picks. Evans.
Oh, man. I had the tough call here between one and two. I didn't know where to place them, but I ended up going with Rebound. Not to be mistaken with, I found out there was another Rebound by Martin Lawrence in 05. This is Rebound, Earl the Goat Manigault from 96. I think it was a HBO feature-length television film, so it didn't go direct to theaters.
That's a biopic.
Is that a biopic?
Yeah.
That is a biopic. Oh. I mean,
good thing you cleared the air beforehand.
That's why I was asking about it, because it's also my second pick.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's a good one,
it's
for
a
sure.
It's a very good movie.
And sure they took some creative liberties as well.
Yeah.
So why do you guys choose Rebound?
You want to go ahead?
I think that, I don't know, just this story of, like, a potential superstar that never made it to the league because of, like, his problems.
Ran into some, you know, issues.
Yeah, with drugs, and then the fact that he managed to, you know, recover and come back and create the tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's a very nice story. And mm-hmm. and I went and I watched a lot of videos of the real Earl the Goat Manigault after mm-hmm. I watched the movie.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, like some of the last videos of when he was still alive.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I thought that was a very interesting movie.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't watched Rebound in a long time, but isn't part of the legend, of the lore of Earl Manigault, that he could dunk twice before the ball hit the ground?
Yes.
Right.
So he was a bit of a hustler, because he would tell people that he would bet money on that.
Yeah, right. he would pick coins
and
dollar bills from the top of the backboard.
Yeah, that was like his legendary story, I guess. Yeah.
Right.
Original goat. I guess the goat came from the fact that his last name was Manigault.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And not what was, you know, appropriated now as
greatest
of all
time,
right?
Yeah.
So not to be mistaken, I guess.
And was it, I think, in the opening scene, or
Kareem.
Yeah.
Kareem with the announcer, Chick Hearn from the Lakers.
From the Lakers, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, movie opens like that. It's kind of hard
saying,
not to.
He gets asked, you know, who is one of the toughest players he's played against, right?
Yeah.
He says, Earl Manigault.
Yeah.
Right?
Spoiler alert.
Oops. Well, it's the opening minutes. I'm sure
people, if you get a chance. Yeah, I think, actually, I was watching it just yesterday just to get a good review on it, and I think Joe Smith and Kevin Garnett actually make an appearance. I don't know if you noticed that.
Oh, damn.
And Forrest Whitaker also plays
Mr. Rucker.
Yeah.
That's his character.
Oh. Man, I have to watch that again.
We're just ruining the movie.
It's a great movie. And also, like, like how he became a community leader after all the things that he went through, I think that makes the movie very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Which that reminds me of the story of another player that was destined to be great in the NBA, but I forgot his name, and he's featuring but that's a documentary on
Hook.
I think so. Yeah, there's Hook. A couple ones.
Hook Mitchell. Yeah.
He ended up in prison, though.
Yeah, he ended up in.
But there's another street ball legend that ended up. He got in trouble. I don't think he ended up in prison, but he never made the NBA.
Crazy.
But that's for our documentaries episode.
Actually, another reason why the GOAT or rebound Earl the GOAT Manigault was my top three is because. So the main character is actually played by Don Cheadle.
Yes.
He's a great actor, one of my favorites. And I think around maybe 99 or 2000, we were playing at this tournament out in West Vancouver here at the Park Royal Mall on the rooftops. I think it was a tournament called 3-on-3 by the Sea. And we actually ran into Don Cheadle and his family that day during the tournament. I think we were just walking through the food court, and we didn't know exactly who Don Cheadle was at the time, so... Me and two of my teammates were just shouting out, like, hey, the GOAT, the GOAT. And he actually, like, you know, stopped because I guess that film wasn't too long ago that he filmed. And he actually stopped and, like, said hi and talked to us, which was, like, pretty cool.
Cause, that's awesome.
Yeah, we had no clue who Don Cheadle was at the time. And he was probably, like,
in his early
20s, 30s.
Your celebrity connections.
Yeah.
Most of his movies, like, almost all of his movies I really, really enjoyed. Yeah. He's a very good actor.
Actually, speaking of connections, it's funny you brought that up because that very tournament was the first time we ever played against or saw King Handles.
Oh, in person. Okay.
Yeah, this was like grade 9 or 10. So it was, yeah, it's like a little bit of a story there because we saw Don Cheadle, who, you know, played the GOAT, you know, one of the greatest players, right. You know, on the streets. And now it's like, you know, we played against Joey Haywood for the first time, and he's kind of like a legend locally, right?
So that's awesome. We got to have him on the show soon, for sure. My number two is different. I chose Love and Basketball. A classic, an absolute classic for basketball movies, I feel.
That one was part of my short list. It was one of the options that I have for my third place, but I didn't pick it. So
the only reason why actually was gonna have Coach Carter as number two, but I decided to demote it to number four for Love and Basketball, just for the reason that I feel like it's more of a classic, Love and Basketball. It's a bit of a complicated story because it's technically a love story.
It's around, a bit cheesy.
It is, for sure. Because it's the story about...
I understand why you picked that.
And it's the movie itself is complicated. Where they go back and forth. Shut up. Where they go back and forth between when, you know... what are the names of... I forgot. Of Monica and Quincy. They go back when they were kids and growing up. And then... She makes it to this international women's league,
right. And
he makes it to, I think, the Lakers, but he blows his ACL or has a horrific injury, and then she gives up her dreams of playing basketball, comes back to the States.
Right.
That's when it gets super complicated to follow. But in the end, I think the iconic scene that we all remember is that last one-on-one where they basically praying for their future.
Mm-hmm.
Where if Monica wins the one-on-one, then Quincy has to give up or cancel his wedding, go with Monica, and I can't remember what she would lose if Quincy wins.
Stop,
but
stop ruining all the
everyone.
Movies.
This is
come I on. Should,
what? No, everyone should know this movie. I'm not even apologetic, and it also came out so long ago. I'm not even apologetic.
What about the young listeners who wanna watch this movie?
All right, I won't tell you who wins the one-on-one, but. I think it's a classic. It's definitely produced classic. by a number of producers, but one of them was Spike Lee, which makes it a classic for basketball movies. So go check it out.
I didn't know Spike Lee was part of that.
That's cool. Yeah. All right. Are we ready for our number one picks? I am a little bit concerned because there's a chance that we might have picked the same movie.
We're coming down to it.
So how about this? The three of us will say our number one at the same time.
Okay.
Really?
How's that? And then we'll see if someone... Really? The odd one out will have to explain why he has such a bad taste.
I think I know which one.
I got a feeling it's going to be all different.
I think I know which one you're referring to, though. Like when you say that we might have picked the same
then,
one.
Okay, let's just go for it. Ready? One, two, three.
He got game. Can't jump.
Oh,
we picked the same.
That was number four for me. he got game. It was a tough call.
It was, no, White Man Can Jump was, it's a classic as well.
I could not, It was the first, like, basketball movie I ever rented on VHS from our local Blockbuster. And shout just, out. Like, the backdrop. I mean, Venice Beach.
Yeah.
Street Ball, the music.
Wesley Snipes.
It is a really good movie. Yeah.
Executive produced by Michael Rapaport. I mean,
it's really good movie. It's a really good movie.
I'm going to say something very controversial here. We couldn't finish an episode without me saying something
stupid.
I think White Man Can Jump is a great movie, but it's not my favorite Wesley Snipes movie.
But this is not an episode of Wesley Snipes' filmography, man.
Save that for another show.
Yeah.
What's that movie?
We're not talking about Blade. We're not talking about...
He's a parachute guy, you know, like...
A parachute guy.
Yeah, he's part of a... part of a gang that they
Demolition Man?
No, it's a...
That was a horrible movie.
Drop Zone, is it?
I don't even know, man.
Why are you making me... Oh, my God. I apologize. So everyone listening, but now we're gonna look at
Wesley Snipes' filmography.
Demolition Man, shout out, because Dennis Rodman was in that movie.
Yeah, so it's Drop Zone.
Oh my God!
A daring prison break from an airliner at 30,000 feet leaves U.S. Marshal Pete Nesip Wesley Snipes. Blah 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 blah. So yeah, you guys, I'm not like Rodrigo, so I'm not gonna ruin the movie.
Please stop.
You guys go and watch it.
Please stop.
Will do.
If you're interested in other things as well,
take us back to White Man Can't Jump, please, Evans.
I don't know. The cast was good. Rosie Perez. It was just funny. Yeah, I mean, fancy moves, layups were beautifully shot, and I've never seen so many like crazy moves all glorified. And it was just left a good impression on me.
It was a fun movie to watch. That's for sure. Yeah.
It's a good soundtrack, you know. My introduction to R&B and hip hop. So.
There we go.
And you should mention that both Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson, they are well below 6 feet. So that's funny.
Yeah, they were good though in the movie.
So we both picked He Got Game, right?
Yeah. It was a tough decision because I wanted to put Like Mike. No, I'm kidding. I didn't know I was going to include that one. I chose He Got Game because it's gritty. It shows a little bit of the reality of, you know, college basketball recruitment. Like, and it felt like a real story. Jesus Shuttlesworth's dad, Ray Allen. Mm.
Soundtrack is very good.
Soundtrack is good.
My Public Enemy.
Yeah. It's nice. I don't know. It was just like you said, Evans. I think it wasn't the first basketball movie that I watched, but it was the first one that left a big impression on me. There were some scenes that are not controversial, but they're for an adult
explicit
audience.
Yeah,
but it was real. It all felt real throughout the entire time.
Very, very Spike, right?
Yeah,
doing what he does.
So, and it was, despite being, you know, graphic at times, it was beautifully made. Totally. It was very well
scripted,
portrayed, scripted, everything. And Ray Allen is a decent actor.
Yeah,
like there are, you know, he's not Shaq.
Right.
But
different character. Yeah.
You know, Ray Allen as Jesus Charlesworth, I honestly thought that it was sort of a biopic when I first realized it was Ray Allen. Right. I thought that was his story just because he was so invested in the character, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it was just a made-up story, right? Rafael, why do you choose it?
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed the movie because of all the reasons that you mentioned. I think the soundtrack played a big role as well. I love that He Got Game song.
Oh yeah.
And I like that he was a shooter. Like he was Ray Allen and he was a shooter. So I think that's part of the reason why I liked the movie so much.
They had nice jerseys too, I remember.
Nice jerseys. And also with White Man Can Jump, I watched that movie a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the chance to watch it when I was young.
So after the fact that you saw it, He Got Game.
Yes.
Okay.
So I think that's
so if you think you saw it the other way around, you might have?
Maybe White Man Can Jump would be more important for me. But He Got Game, it's more important personally because I watched at a time where I think
around
there was a higher probability that it would influence me.
Right, around the same age.
I'm just going to say that the only thing that I don't like about He Got Game is the very, very ending. I'm not going to say it because otherwise you guys will give me crap.
I don't remember.
Even though,
go watch it.
I don't remember
the
ending. So.
But the ending,
me neither.
It's just I did not. I wish I had a bit of a clearer ending. But. Let us know what you guys think about these movies. It was very tough because I wanted to include White Man Can Jump. I even wanted to include Space Jam because that was.
I'm actually surprised that's none of our choices, to be honest.
It was one of the first very successful basketball movies, and it's entertaining. But when you compare it to something more serious.
I think we all went with more serious options, and we decided to leave.
Other than White Man Can't Jump. I mean, it has its serious points, but it's considered a comedy for the most part, I guess.
I agree. Same with Love and Basketball. I thought it was iconic, but it's more about the, I guess, the romantic story. But at all points, it's around basketball as well.
Right. Could be considered a chick flick. You brought a chick flick movie to your list.
Are you shaming me right now? Because, you know, whatever. Whatever. I do like my rom-coms every now and then. Nothing wrong with that.
There you go. What's the top three basketball rom-com for you then?
If there is one. I don't know if there's a... Semi-Pro was also very funny.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It's not anywhere close to, like, top five, but it was funny. Like Mike wasn't bad, actually.
Above the Rim was actually on my top five list.
Glory Road was also on my list.
Yeah.
That one's a bit of an underdog, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
But it's based on a true story. So, somewhat of a documentary. But yeah, any other mentions, guys?
That's it for me.
I think so.
You know what's one movie that I, during my research, I found that I usually try to watch even the bad ones. So Uncle Drew, I wouldn't say I wouldn't say top 10.
It was
funny.
Fun, but
you know, like on that line of movies of like the fun ones, maybe for your kids, like Mike was a lot more fun than Uncle Drew, I think. But I found this one movie that I don't know if I'm ready to ever watch it. It's called Thunderstruck.
I was just going to say that. I saw the poster.
The star is Kevin Durant. I don't know the premise. And I don't know if I want to find out. But I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
That Kevin Durant has a movie called Thunderstruck. Oh, and one last one that I think should be in top 10 of classic basketball movies, at least. Eddie, my new coach.
I don't know that one. Is it good?
Whoopi Goldberg. And she becomes the coach of the New York Knicks.
Oh, I got to see that. I saw a poster earlier.
It's a comedy. But it has some NBA players on it. Rick Fox plays as a Knick. And Whoopi takes the Knicks. I don't think they win, but he makes them a lot better than they are right now. So maybe they should actually make Whoopi Goldberg their coach.
The air up there was actually one I considered. I don't know why. It was a funny one.
And what is it? Blue Chips?
Oh, yeah. That was a good one. Shaq, right?
Yeah.
I remember I watched a movie when I was a kid that a guy was wearing like special shoes that he wouldn't miss any shots when he was wearing those shoes, and he could jump like higher than everyone. But I don't remember what's the name of the movie.
I don't recall.
A basketball movie?
Yeah.
I think,
of course.
Wasn't that Flubber?
No, I don't think so. I don't remember. But anyways, a lot of great picks today.
Yeah, no, that was good. It was. I'm surprised that you guys had the same two. But for everyone listening, let us know what are your top three basketball movies, and let us know what you think about our top three.
Maybe some international ones too.
Yeah,
for all the international listeners.
I don't know if you guys agree, but there are many, many more options when we talk about documentaries. I think...
Yes and no.
I think it was harder for me, or maybe I should say easier for me to make this list, because I don't have that many options. With documentaries, it's going to be much harder, because I have a lot of documentaries that I like.
We'll find out. Maybe that should be our follow-up for next episode.
Possibly.
Top three documentaries.
And also, we could potentially come up with a list of the top three worst movies that an NBA player was featured.
Oh, easy.
Yeah. What is the name of the one with
Kassam?
Shaq?
No, not Kassam. The other one.
No, Shaq Fu? No, that's...
No. He plays a superhero.
Yeah, he plays...
Steel.
Like Superman, right?
Yeah. That was horrible. Anyways, anything else for our top three basketball movies, gentlemen?
Go watch some basketball movies.
Hell yeah. As always, if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, please, please rate us 5 stars and leave us a review. Otherwise, Raphael will go to your house and make you watch Wesley Snipes marathon. All his movies, all of them, even the bad ones. You don't want that. So
shout out to Wesley Snipes.
Shout out. Yeah.
I'll do something worse than that. I'll make you watch all the Carmelo Anthony highlights from the Knicks.
You also don't want that.
You know where? You know, there's a great team for Melo right now. It's in the big three.
The Ball Hogs.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
He said that he would consider playing the big three as long as Dwayne Wade and someone else comes with him.
All right. We'll leave that for next episode. Make sure that you're following us on Instagram at dropping.dimes, on Twitter at dropping_dimes1, facebook.com/dropping.dimes1, because without the one, that's not us. Our website for our latest episodes, www.dropping-dimes.com. And if for some reason you want to email us, contact@dropping-dimes.com. Listen to the Dropping Dimes crew signing off. Peace out.